Amen.
How sweet and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Amen. If you've had a good week, very good week, let's just lift our hands up and say thank you, Jesus, for a fantastic week. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Even though it's not all the things that you expect, but you got alive to celebrate. Father, we say thank you. Thank you because you're a faithful God. Thank you because we can depend upon you. Thank you because we can trust you. Thank you because you love us. Thank you for all the beautiful things that we have experienced. Father, this morning we just want to pour out our hearts. Please speak to us. In every situation, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Before I start this morning, I just want to announce to the church that I've got a brother in the house. And his name is Dr. Victor Adoji. Please. He just bagged a doctorate degree, another one in London, and he just came for the graduation ceremony, and he decided to visit us this morning. Thanks for coming, sir. This morning, I'll be speaking on a topic, a people of purpose. One of the most difficult things for humans is understanding our purpose. As many of you will know, I work in a field where I have conversations with people. And I've had this question several times. Why am I here? And it's a question that some of us, if not all of us, have asked at one point in our lives or the other. Why am I in this relationship? Purpose. Why am I not this person? Purpose. Why am I not getting that? Purpose. So everything in life is pointing to one question. Why? What is the purpose of this thing? Now, I remember, I think last year or the year before, we had a need to change our television set at home. And the purpose of that is because we wanted to get a better quality of sounds and visual. So I went to, what's the shop called? Corris. Lovely shop. And I met this beautiful young woman who was going to sell me the TV. Her job was to tell me the purpose of the TV. So she went ahead and told me, it's got 4D, it's got 4K, it's got 4L, or whatever it is they call them. The pictures are these, it's like they're jumping out of the screen. I don't like that part, but it's okay. And all that beautiful things that the TV was meant to do. Having understood this, in my mind, I paid for the TV. TV was delivered, and because of the complexity of it, it was also installed. So we watched it the whole day. What a beauty to watch. And the very next day was a Saturday. I woke up in the morning and I just jumped out of bed and I tried to watch the TV. I turned it on. It wouldn't come on. I did everything I knew how to do. It still wouldn't come on. This is a £5,000 TV. And one day works, the other day is not working. So I picked up my phone and I called Team Know It How. It's a very good team with Corris, and they give you this number. So I rang them. And being a Nigerian man, I like a bit of patience. I said, excuse me, ma'am, you sold me a TV that don't work. How on earth will I pay $5,000 for a TV that is defective? They said, oh, we are sorry, sir. If it's defective, we're happy to replace it. That's not the problem. Why will the TV not work after one night? And the lady said, sir, can you tell me what you see on the screen? I said, there is nothing. That's why I'm calling you. She said, no, look at the screen. Just tell me all the features you can see. Can you see any lights anywhere? Can you see? I said, there is nothing. It's just blank. He said, have you tried to press the button? Of course I have tried that. And as far as I am concerned, the TV was faulty. And isn't that the way we look at our lives? That, oh, look at me. I have not accomplished the things that I'm meant to accomplish. What are those things? Do you really know what you're meant to accomplish? So I said to this lady, okay, that's it. Send an engineer to take up the TV. She said, before I'll do that, can you do this for me, sir? I said, what is it? She said, at the middle of the TV at the bottom, there is a button there. Can you just see if you can click it up? Click it up, okay. Press the button, and the TV came on. That was very embarrassing. And I said, oops, the TV works. She said, oh, we are sorry that you're finding it difficult. But the problem wasn't them. The problem was me. When they had finished installing the television set, they gave me a book that is called The Manual. The manual tells you what to expect from the television set. It tells you how to operate the television set. And at the end of the manual, it says something that most Christians don't understand. It says, if this product is found to be defective, call this number. And we will arrange for an engineer to come. Now, as Christians, we have a problem with the manual. In Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea. Now, this is the purpose of man. God made man to do something. So from the very first book of the Bible, God made man. Now, this is man. And at the end of all creation, through Moses, God gave a set of manuals to help man understand his purpose on earth. Open with me to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by what? Of God. And is profitable for one thing, another, and the last one. For instruction in righteousness. So what a man and a woman needs to live a life is given in God's manual to help man fulfill his purpose. And how many times do we get to read the manual? If you're here and when you got your mobile phone, you read the manual from the first page to the last page. Can I see your hands up? You got a mobile phone. A manual came along with it. Every phone comes with a manual. If you have read the manual from the first page to the last page, can I see your hand up? This is a truthful church. We don't read the manual. Nobody reads the manual. What do when the phone don't work? I ring Pastor Nick, I ring Pastor Paul, I ring a friend, and I say, my phone don't work. Isn't that how we run our lives? When we lose focus, when we're losing in things, instead of consulting the manual and the maker of the manual, we consult someone who has no clue on what is going on. So the person gives you an idea. So, well, in my phone, you press the star button and 3, 5, 6 and the hash button and press send. And you do exactly that and your phone goes black. God says, all scripture that I have inspired men by the move of the Holy Spirit to write out my plan and my heart concerning you. So the purpose that you are on earth for is designed by the maker. What my consultant at work is an atheist, one of them, and we're having a conversation about purpose. Because like I said to you, most of my patients ask me, why am I here? So he said to me, I said, we're here, this is now me having a conversation with my boss at work. And I said, I think we are placed here by God. And my boss, being an atheist, said, of course not. How can we be put here by God? Look at the things that are happening. It doesn't prove that there is a God. And he, for you to be a consultant in England, academically, you must have at least 15 to 20 years of academic work to get to that point. So he's a very intelligent person. And then I said to him, I said, well, I think there is God. He said, what makes you think there is God? That's why we are here. He put us here. He said, look, let me tell you something, John. If there was God, there wouldn't be wars. If there was God, everything would be in place. because he will try to put everything in place. And something ruptured in my heart. The things of God are foolishness to a mind that is not circumcised. So when God is saying things to you, intelligence means nothing. By the foolish things of the world, God has confounded the wise. He has made silly the wisdom of men. So I said, what is my purpose on earth? Why am I here? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 answers the questions of how I got here, but not what I am doing here. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created how many things? And by your will they were being. So it is clear where we come from. We were created by God. Not just us, everything. I think it was my fourth or fifth year at university that I did a program at in Sweden, I think, one of the universities in Oslo. And I remember it was a course in Egyptology. When you're in a science field, they ask you to go and do a social science or an art course in a different university to get an understanding of what other people think. I don't know why they do that at university, but they just do that. So I went there, and during the course of my study, they were talking about Egypt and the kings of Egypt. And they spoke about all the kings that archaeologists have been able to find. And they talk about Tutankhamun, the young king, and his mother, and his father, and his uncles, and everyone. And I said to myself, where is Pharaoh? For some reason, they have omitted the only part of what links Christianity to the world and to old time Egypt. So the lecturer smartly gave us the timeline. And then there was a group of years that was missing in the timeline. So I said, lifted up, I said, sir, what happened in this period? Who were the kings? We don't know. I know. Nobody knows. There is no archaeological facts to show that these kings exist. So they didn't, maybe they were in the dark age, maybe they were in a war, we don't know. I said, I know, because the Bible says there was a time when the Israelites were in Egypt. And by my calculation, it fits into this period that you don't have account of. He said, we don't have any proof that Israelites were ever in Egypt. I said, neither do we have proof that the Israelites were in Germany. He said, no, we do have proof. I said, what are the proofs? He said, there are prisons in Germany. I said, so the people who came out of there also said, we were there. It's not written in the New Testament. It's in the books of Moses. That is the history of the Jews. We came here by divine creation. God said, I will make man after my image and after my likeness. And God made us. But because we lost our desire for the manual, we've lost our purpose. So we watch TV. There is no picture. We just make do with the sound. And then we don't have no sound. Then we just make do by having it around. We keep changing the goalpost every time and every generation. Christians now argue against the Bible. Do you know we argue against the Bible? One day I was reading the book of Ephesians. It says, wives, submit to your husband. He says, husband, love your wives. And we argue with this. How can we submit to a man? God created them equal. Man, male and female, created he them. We use the scripture to challenge the scripture. Now we wonder why the world is going down. Each time we stand against the word of God, we make enemies with God. We say, God, you don't know enough. Men are smart. We've got doctorate degrees. We are engineers. We are psychologists. We are astronauts. We can go from one galaxy to the other. God, we know too much. And the Bible says, he that created the eyes, shall he not see? He that created the intellect, is he not smarter than you? He that created the universe, before you are exploring it, is he not smarter? So we argue with the Bible every single day. Well, I like this scripture. Oh, the doings of God are beautiful. I will hold on to this scripture. But I don't like that scripture. I've got one of the doctors at work. She's what you call a feminist. And she likes speaking to me about feminism. Because as far as she's concerned, an average African man has no feminine side at all. They are extremely rude. So she likes speaking to me about the feminist movement. So when she's got 5 minutes, she jumps into my office, says, "Can I speak to you for 2 minutes? I say, "Yes." She says, "What do you think about this? Women wearing trousers." Amen. Now there's nothing wrong with women wearing trousers. You must understand that. But for the feminist, it's a big problem. You must accept it. You must not even imagine it. You just let it be. And I said to her, I said, "Do you know something?" He said, "No, I don't care if women are allowed to wear trousers or not." That's my point, you see. You need to accept. I don't need to accept anything. There's only one thing I know. Like the blind man said, "Once I was blind, now I can see. It doesn't concern me if the man is the son of God or he is God himself. But what I know is I was blind and now I can see." We Christians have become liberalistic in our views. We criticize each other. Say, "He's speaking in tongues. Where do they learn to speak in tongues?" We are not like that. The church of God is one church. Jesus said to his disciples, when they came to him and said, "These people are preaching in your name." Jesus said, "Are they adding unto us?" They said, "Yes." Then they are one of us. Our purpose on earth is to worship God. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 9. "But you are a chosen." You are a chosen. Amen. You see, when I was going to get married, very difficult period for those that are married and planning to get married. How many of you were able to sleep 2 nights before your wedding? If you're here, you slept 2 nights. Let me see your hands up. If you're married, oh, you're good, lucky. You are the lucky ones. That is the day you are asking yourself, "Am I making the right decision? Is this person the right person?" Because I grew up with an understanding that there is only one path into marriage. There is no way out. I met a pastor, the pastor that joined us. I think he was a crazy man. And my wife thinks so too. So we came to him because we had a very, very, very swift wedding. It was just 3 days' notice. I think the pastor didn't like the idea. So he sat us down and he looked at me in the eyes. I think he felt I looked suspicious somehow. Oh, yeah. I think you agree with him. So he said to me, he said, "You're meant to have 6 months of premarital counseling." That is, we have wedding in 3 days. How do we get 6 months in 3 days? I said to him. He said, "Listen, you have to commit to having the premarital counseling post-marriage." Okay, that's fine. We can do that. But that's not why I'm telling you this. He looked into my eyes and he said to me, "Do you know that if I join you on Saturday, I can no longer, neither can any man, unjoin you?" He says, "What?" He says, "Do you know that?" I said, "Yes." He said, No. "Do you really, really know that?" I said, "Yes." "Do you believe that?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, on Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning, I'll join you. If you turn up to the church few minutes after 10, the marriage will not hold." Purpose. People make a mess of things when they don't understand its purpose. I couldn't turn on a TV. It sounds easy. And I know people here will say, "I think you are not educated enough. I've got 3 or 4 master's degrees to start with. I still couldn't turn on a TV." Why? Because I ignored the manual. I haven't spent time. And because we are not spending time with God's manual, we don't know the heart of God concerning us. We don't know the heart of God. So we are facing one direction. When God is on the other side and screaming, "Come this way, come this way," we can't hear him because we are on the other side. There is a way that appears right unto a man. The way looks right. The way feels right. But the Bible says it is the path of death. And we have walked this path. We think we are too smart. "Oh, if a man loves me, I can know. If I see a good job, I can know." And many have taken up jobs that have been not what God has intended for them. Many have taken hours of work that God hasn't intended, and they don't understand why they are struggling. Oh, when I got to the interview, something inside of me made me feel good about it. Is that right? And 6 months later, he's like, Auntie Onyeka, can you pray with me? There's this lady at my workplace. She's stressing me. As I begin to draw towards closing, I want to tell you a story about a man called Jacob. Jacob was a very, very good man. Very good man. Let's not try to remember that he stole his brother's birthright. But he was a good man. He wanted to marry. So he looked at his master's daughters. That is the wrong place to look for a wife. But he looked at his master's daughters and said, oh, I like this one. I'm going to marry her. What he didn't know, that the one that he was going to marry was going to be barren for a long time. So he picked this woman and took to the father-in-law and said, I want to marry this daughter. And I said, okay, you're going to work for me for 7 years and she's yours. Very easy. He did everything. I'm talking about purpose now. And on the 7th year, he came to the father, said, Mr. Father-in-law, I have done everything you've asked of me. So can I have this lovely woman? He said, yes, but there is a problem. Every time God put a stumbling block, man pushes the block aside and wants to walk through. So he said, okay, you are going to walk another 7 years because in our tradition, the older daughters don't stay in the house when the younger are married. So the first 7 years is for the older one. So you can have this. But I don't want this one. But that's your wife now. You've paid for her in full. Jacob went beyond that. I will work another 7 years for this one. The father said, go ahead. And he worked. Aren't we like that? We are persistent in our ways and our path. I love this one. I'm going to keep it. Samson is also another man. Samson's mother and father said to him, God said to us, you must not take a wife from amongst them. He said, I have found Delilah. Yes, she's among them. Yes, she's beautiful. She pleases me well. So I'm going to marry her. You know the end of the story. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, man lost the strength and the desire to obey God in his fullness. So what did man do? Man began to look for ways to challenge God's ways. God's way is not usually right for man. It's not the easy way. God's way is his way. But for those who know the things of God, it's the only way. Jesus came and said to the people, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. I know Christians who are saying, yes, Jesus is the main way, but there are other ways. I stand here this day to tell you, if Jesus said it, that's the way it is. I'll look at 3 points. Now, this is just the foundation to this teaching. When God helps me and I come back, I'll be able to continue with this teaching. So let's look at the first of all these things. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter number 12 and verse 1. You haven't got that? Amen. I've got that. Can you quickly scroll through Phil and see if you can find any of the versions? I'll read. Because of God's grace, great mercy to us, let us offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Amen. Oh, this is NIV. I like this one. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our proper worship. In the King James Version, it said, this is our reasonable service. Reasonable service. So the purpose of man, one, is to offer service to God. Is somebody hearing me? Our first assignment is to offer ourselves to God. Our first service is not bachelor's in engineering, master's in physics, and PhD in Egyptology. No. Our first assignment is service to God. And I've seen us as Christians put God on the step and says the first thing is me, the second thing is my wife, the third thing are my children, the fourth thing is my job, and the fifth thing is maybe God. And we ask why God is far away. We took God out of our lives, out of our businesses, out of our schools, and placed him 5 steps away. So when the enemy is coming, it takes God even longer to come. Why? We've pushed him far from us. He said, if you draw near unto me, I will draw near unto you. The scripture today, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. We struggle to worship God because we've become worshipers of ourselves. I remember going with my wife to Debenhams. She went to do a bit of shopping. I don't go to Debenhams. I hate that shop. Things are just too expensive there. He go to Primark. It's reasonable. But she likes going there, so I go with her because, you know, as a husband, the Bible says, love your wife, so you have to go. So she said, come with me. I said, yes, sir. So we go. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. There are people there that sits before a mirror with somebody trying to make them look good for hours. And when they look away from that mirror, I'm not joking now, they say to the beautician, they says, I don't look good on the left side. And the beautician go back and begin to scrub the left side and start doing it again. And they said, the eyebrow is not looking like that. And they bring some tongs and tongue the eyes out. Now, I'm not saying this is wrong, but I'm saying we spend too much time looking good in the outside and terrible in the inside. The body is for a reasonable service to God. 1.5 hours in church is too long on a Sunday morning. I spend 6.5 hours every day listening to some depressive stories. That's my job. That's my job. And I get to work. I have never been late to work. Never. And I'm sure there's nobody sitting here today that will take a habit of being late to work. But we are comfortable, very comfortable, to be late to church without cause. Oh, it's a Sunday morning. Lola, can you make me some pounded yam? And she goes in the kitchen because she wants to be an obedient wife. And she turns the pounded yam. And I spend another 30 minutes eating the pounded yam. What a good day it is. With a goosey soup. Many of you don't know that, but it's a good soup. And then we turn up, we stroll, get to the car. And we start the car. And we just chat on our way to church. And the church is meant to start at 9:15 or 9:45 or 11:15. And we turn up to church 30 minutes later. And as soon as we get into church, we have time enough to shake hands with everyone on the last roll and then go and sit down. The worship is going on. The King of Kings is in the house. I come from a royal house, and I know when His Royal Majesty, before He sadly passed away, was sitting on the throne in a meeting, the door is shut. He is a man. Nobody dares open that door when the Royal Majesty is on the throne. But the King above all kings. Because we lost purpose in our lives. I do these things. I'm guilty of it. And I pray that God give me the grace to understand the reason. And it's there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What you sacrifice is no longer yours. My grandmother, my father's mother, was an idol worshiper. If you come from royalty, you know what this is in Africa. It's a lot of sacrifices going on there. One day I came to my grandma, I was very hungry, and there was this lovely looking goat. I said, Grandma? She said, yes. Can I have this goat for lunch? How dare you say that? I said, why? This has been offered to the gods, she said. You can't eat it. I said, well, talk to the gods. The living are hungry. She said, my son, I love you so much, but you can't have this because it's been offered. We offer ourselves as a sacrifice the day we say, Jesus, come into our lives, and we take it back the next day. Say, Jesus, you know, this is my life now. I just want to do these things. But Jesus, it doesn't please me. He said, don't worry about that. It's mine. But you gave it to me yesterday. I take it back. We don't say these words, but those are the things that we do when we don't pay attention to the things that matters to him. There are 3 things I want us to look at. First, the word is because of God's great mercy. from my translation here, because of God's grace mercy. Then the word offer yourself, and then the last word there is offer again. Why? Because of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Jesus says, nobody took this life away from me. I gave it willingly for the salvation of all mankind. Since the day Jesus gave his life, he has not taken it back. That is why we are all sitting here saved and going on our, making our path to heaven. This is the reason why the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is doing his part. This morning I want to ask us, are we doing ours? Do we consider the things of God more important than the things that concerns us? My purpose on earth is not to marry. Marriage is an addition. My purpose is not to go to university and have wonderful degrees. It's good to have wonderful degrees, but that's not my purpose. And that's why these things by themselves don't bring happiness to us. Someone's greatest undoing are the things that he draws into his own life. And when I do say a bit of counseling, I speak with people, and they tell me, do you know I have this habit, and this is my greatest undoing. And they say to me, not me saying to them now, I did this to me. Isn't that all what we all do? We do this to us. In the selfishness and in the greed of our hearts. I remember once Tuesday, as I close now, Pastor Nick sent me a text message. And it was, after saying everything he had to say, at the bottom he says, we have prayer meeting tonight. Will you be there? We have prayer meeting tonight. Will you be there? And I was sitting at my desk. I looked at that text message because I was going to say to Pastor Nick later that evening that please excuse me from prayer meeting. I want to stay at home. I'm tired. But he sent me that text. Will you be there? And the same text I'm sending to you from the pulpit this morning. Will you be there? Not for the prayer meeting, just the prayer meeting. But everything that has to do with the things of God. Will you be there? Will you push the things that concerns you slightly farther? And push the things that, pull the things that concerns God closer to you? Will you make that decision to say, yes, I've got a job that excuse me a Saturday and a Sunday. Will I take the Sunday and serve God? I mentioned after work on Tuesday, when I'm weak and tired and weary, will I turn up for church and say, I'm still going to pray? This is one thing I will do, Joshua said. As for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Let's stand upon our feet. Let's just go before God in our hearts and ask him, Lord, speak to me. What is my purpose here? Why am I here? In new life, why am I here? On earth, why am I here? In the family you have placed me, why am I there? I'm tired of trying to find a way and not just understanding it. Father, show me the way. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me. You said we're a chosen people. We're a holy nation. We are God's special possession. Please help us to understand this. Help us to understand this. The Bible says, the labor of a fool wearieth every one of them because he knows not the way. Father, we are struggling with knowing. Help us to know the way. The things that concerns you, let them concern us. The things that touches your heart, let them touch our heart. Father, as a people where we have gone astray, we ask that you, in your mercy, bring us back. That we may know that we're created for a purpose. In Paul's letter to Timothy, he said, Timothy, study the scripture so that you may be approved unto God, a wise man. Wisdom is only found in your knowledge of God. Help us, Lord, to be wise in your sight. Help us to overcome our individual struggles. Where we have lost understanding, Father, give us insight. Where we have struggled, Father, give us strength. Where we have been lost, Father, show us the path back. Help us as a church. Help us as a nation. Help us as individual.
Thank you, Lord. Johnny, do you want to come up? There's a song that many of you will know called He is Lord. How many of you know that one? He is Lord, He is Lord, He's risen from the dead. NK, do you want to come too? And Leonie? Okay. For those of you that know, hands up if you know He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead. Okay, if you know it, let's sing it. And it's really an expression of what John has been talking about this morning. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here we go. Phil, do you want to put that verse up? Just as we're starting, it would be it's lovely to see quite a number of new people here today. And this would be a good opportunity to maybe turn around, Pat, talk to somebody you don't know. Say hello. How are you? How's your summer so far? Greet somebody warmly. The Harunas have returned from an all-night wedding. Looking very blue this morning. Blue on the outside. Gold on the inside. There's a little verse up here. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. If you could look this way, it says, "Come to me." And this is Jesus speaking. And I believe that he's saying this to us as well this morning. Come to me. He's saying, come to me. He's saying, come to me, all you. Hands up if you're all, one of all this morning. Yep, we are all, aren't we? So Jesus is saying he wants us to come to him. How many people are weary, a little bit tired? Yes? Tired on the outside, maybe tired on the inside, burdened. Wow. Does Jesus want us to... I thought we had to be perfect to come to him. No, he says, come to me if you're burdened, if you're weighed down by things. And he says, I will give you rest. This is what he wants for all of us this morning. He wants to do something in our hearts as we come to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And that's what we're here to do this morning, to learn from Jesus, because he is gentle and humble in heart, and we will find rest for ourselves. Let's stand, shall we? And just as the musicians just start to play quietly the song that we're going to be starting with this morning, which starts with this word, come, let's just pray now. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Lord, we just pray this morning that you would indeed come amongst us, Lord. Thank you. You said that if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Jesus, help us as we sing these words, to mean what we're singing, to understand what we're singing, to focus on what we're singing, that we might be praying these words in our hearts, even as we sing them to you this morning.
Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures.
As we continue our worship this morning, we're going to take our offering. So thankful to Jesus for all he's done for us. So amazing, isn't it? He shed his blood on the cross. We're going to sing Happy Day, Johnny. Is that right? Yeah, it's a happy day. because Jesus took our sins away. So let's really enter into that glorious, wonderful truth as we give back to Jesus a little of what he's given us. Amen. Just to again welcome a number of visitors here this morning. You might have been here last week when I wasn't. Apologies if I haven't said hi yet. But we have a little contact form. I have one in my pocket that got filled in last week but has not been replied to, shamefully, because I was away. But there's a little form, and if you want to just put your contact details in there, if you'd like to the church to stay in touch with you, then that's a really practical way of doing it. Just mention a few things very briefly. First of all, the Saturday outreach, I was able to zoom along yesterday to Archway Tube Station and see the merry crew there, handing out leaflets and greeting people, telling them about Jesus. And they've had a really good time there. And that's going to carry on over the summertime. John and Lola are leading that. And even when John disappears to Nigeria, I believe Lola's going to carry on flying the flag. Is that right? So if you want to come along to that, I think you went along last week, didn't you, Jay? Was it good? Fantastic. So that's Saturday throughout the summer. And then we have the summer Sundays. Have you got that overhead there, Phil? Okay, there's another one about the morning with people leaping all over it. You can't really see them, can you? Such is the light in here. Yeah, so through August we do something quite different. And people really enjoy the summer meetings. It's a little bit more relaxed. This year we've got a couple of home groups who got together and they're preparing a feast for every week. It's all late, so the children come in, probably a little bit shorter, but we always have a really good time. And then afterwards, we pour out onto Hampstead Heath, Parliament Hill Fields, and there's a year ago. Drew's got a nice haircut there, I see, and some ECOS people there. And we have a picnic. It's by the bandstand. The music's nice. We play some games. We have fellowship. And the ECOS crowd, at least on some of those Sundays, will be joining us as well to practice their conversation. And then the prayer meeting. Joe, do you want to just say something about the prayer meeting this coming Tuesday?
Yeah, just very quickly. So the last prayer meeting of the summer term is on Tuesday. Pat's looking very disappointed. So Tuesday night at Highgate Road Chapel. It's our final one this Tuesday, and it's a special one because we're going to really, really pray for Soul Survivor. And for there's many teenagers going, it's a big group, many have not been before, and we want to really cry out on that night. So if you're going on Soul Survivor, or you're a teenager, or you're a leader going, or you're a parent, please come and pray with us that God would so move and continue to move in the hearts of the young people. So that's this Tuesday night. Brilliant.
Fantastic. Yes, and two very significant moments this morning where people, the clock goes by and two more people have moved a year up in age. That is Sinan and George. Would you like to come forward, please? You're always very fast up, Sinan. I'm never sure where your birthday is. I know it's, is it next Wednesday or last Wednesday? Last Wednesday. Fantastic. How old are you, Sinan?
10.
Amazing. We've hit double figures. I remember that moment. It's when we get near the triple figures, we have to start worrying.
George, what about you?
Well, I had my birthday on the 16th of July, and I'm 13 now.
13. Fantastic. Yes, he has become a teenager. Amazing. In a moment, we're going to have some cakes and sing happy birthday. But let's pray for these dear guys. I love Sinan and George. They're a good example of some burning hearts. And we know that Jesus has got his hand on that. Joe, do you want to just come and just pray for these guys? Come and stand around this side, Sinan.
Lord Jesus, we want to thank you so much for George and Sinan, for their love for you, Father, and that they're choosing to follow you. We want to pray for an amazing year coming up for them, Father, that you would pour out your blessing on their lives, and that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, and they would continue to follow Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, happy birthday, Sinan and George. Okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sinan and George. Happy birthday to you. You didn't get your opportunity to blow one of those out. Fantastic. Great. Well, we're going to share out the cake later. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great year. See you soon. So, this is where the babies, toddlers, teenagers, and children all head out. Another opportunity to say hi to your neighbour.